We'll try to stay within those bounds here tonight. Yeah. It is a pleasure to be gathered here with the extended body of Christ. It's always a pleasure to go and see where God's working and what God's doing and all the different places in which God's placed his light and salt. Amen? Amen. And so I pray that tonight that this passage of Scripture that's been given to me, that you already all understand. But I pray that tonight we spend time reflecting upon that. But maybe there is someone here tonight that is asking, I wonder how it is that when life comes to an end that I can be sure that I'm sure that I'm sure. So with that, I want to say that Mark is one of my dear friends in the faith and in the ministry as a fellow servant. And Mark, much like everybody else, when they read my name, thought that I was going to be a little squilly mouth little fella that he can push around until I walked into the dorm. And he realized, better not mess with this fellow too much. Amen? And then when he learned my testimony, he really kept his distance, and he kept his gun loaded all the time. So he had a lot of guns, and he had a lot of fancy guns. And so anyway, Mark was a great guy. I'm so thankful that God has brought him here to be in fellowship with you. And I pray that God continues to do a mighty work in ministry through him. He always had a heart that I loved, and it was a heart for the Lord Jesus and to see others come to know him as Lord and Savior as well. And so if you would, take your Bibles, though, and turn to John chapter 14. You all know that you're working through the seven I am statements of the Lord Jesus through the book of John. And wow, what a collective group of statements that Christ made. All of them, though, all pointing back, going all the way back to Exodus, of course, to when Moses asked God, whom shall I send, say, sent me? And he said, you tell him that I am has sent you. And Christ, playing off of that, then comes in and gets us to understand that not only is he the Son of God, but he is God, and he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. And that's our text tonight, but you can't divorce verse 6 from the beginning of the chapter. So I'd like for us to begin there, because the dialogue in which we head to has to take place in the context in which he spoke those words. And so simply follow along with me in the Word of God as we read tonight. Verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believed in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes unto me, or comes unto the Father, but by me. All so familiar to a lot of your ears in here tonight, but as I said, going all the way back to verse 1, and everybody is in question about this statement that is there a room in heaven for me? If I die, can I make sure that I'm going to heaven? The whole context is about the heavenly scene, eternal life, which Jesus came to bring. I am the resurrection and the life. Someone else will be going through that. I am the door. So you're gonna hear a lot of those things, but the central theme about what he's talking about here is the central entrance into the one place where everybody wants to go. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Whether they're in faith or out of faith, everybody wants to go to heaven. When you ask where you're going to go when you die, I say, well, I hope I go to heaven. But I tell you that the conversation about heaven is pretty, pretty slim when it comes to the truth of heaven. And that's why I believe he spoke these words, because right now there's a lot of people who believe there's many ways to heaven. There's many paths to heaven. You follow your path, I'll follow mine. One of the leading speakers to this movement, it started from here, was Gandhi. I don't know if you know much about the mystic Gandhi, but I mean, he spoke lots of words of wisdom. He really did, if you read them. But we all know, where does all wisdom come from that man has? It comes from the mind and heart of God. No one has any wisdom that doesn't come from the mind and heart of God. So while he had great things to say, he had them all bent and twisted. But he said these words: the need of the moment is not one religion, but mutual respect and tolerance of the devotees of the different religions. And while that sounds all real nice, warm, and fuzzy, I believe in tolerance. Absolutely, 100%. But make sure that when we're talking about tolerance, we're not talking about the truth and the way and the life. This nation has been an open door for us that we might see all kinds of faiths and religions come right to our front door, that we might complete and finish the goal where he told us to go to Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. And the uttermost parts of the world have come right to our front door. And they come with all different types of faith and all different types of makeup. But so do all of those that are born right around us. They're only in the faith that they're in and the religion that they're in most likely because of the family that they grew up with. So until you can get into their hearts and minds, you can't take a Muslim and throw him out the door because he's a Muslim or a Hindu for a Hindu or anything else in the way. You have to be able to communicate the truth, the way, the truth and the life unto someone so they might know that, hey, listen, faith is good. But only faith in Jesus Christ is faith that saves. It's the only faith that gets us to heaven. It's the only way we're going there. Well, I don't listen to regular secular radio anymore just simply because of the fact that it is, I believe, one of the prolific ways that the devil is entering into the hearts and lives of the minds of the people who listen to it to hold them captive to the thoughts and the ideas of the world. And I want to just point this out by simply reading a song that's very popular on the radio right now. But I want you to listen to the words. It's by Kenny Chesney. Very famous, popular country music singer. Nothing against the guy, but listen to what it says. Preacher told me last Sunday morning, son, you better start living right. You need to quit the women and whiskey and carrying on all night. Wow. Hey, that's good advice. Praise the Lord. I mean, I like that advice, really. You shouldn't run around with a lot of women. That's pretty good. The Bible says don't commit adultery, don't fornicate. That's pretty good advice, right? Amen. Well, don't drink. Don't drink strong drinks, so on and so forth. Y'all understand what I'm saying. And then stop carrying on all night. Present yourself in a presentable way. But then listen to what he says. Don't you want to hear him call your name when you're standing at the pearly gates? I told the preacher, yes, I do. But I hope they don't call today. I ain't ready. Now think about that for a minute. He recognizes his need to get to heaven. But he hopes that God doesn't call today because he's not ready to be ready to go to heaven. You hear what he's singing? Now listen, you may sit in here and you may sing that song. But do you understand the underlining statement that he's making there, that heaven's really not that important until I say it's important? Till I want to get ready. I'm not going to stop my running around with women. I'm not going to stop drinking and I'm not going to start hanging out all night until I'm ready to do so. But what if tomorrow came and he doesn't have an opportunity to be ready and get right? Well, then he goes on to say this. Said preacher, maybe didn't you see me throw an extra 20 in the plate? There's one for everything I did last night and one to get me through today. Now listen to this. Here's a 10 to help you remember. He's paying the preacher to get rid of his problems. Wow. And then he says, here's a 10 to help you remember. Next time you got the good Lord's ear, say I'm coming, but there ain't no hurry. I'm having fun down here. Well, praise the Lord. Aren't you so glad that Kenny Chesney's having a lot of fun down here on the earth and he's not quite ready to make a commitment to Christ Jesus because he's having fun? And yet our precious Savior paid the ultimate price with his life and his blood that he might be able to have entrance into heaven. And here he's making pun as if heaven's not a place that we should long for right now. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm looking around at the situation in which we're living as Americans, and our days are getting longer and harder every single day we live. And the closer I look at heaven, the more I want to go to heaven today. Amen? But he says these words, everybody wants to go to heaven and get their wings and fly around. Holy moly, man, do you understand that he just demoralized us all and put us in a class of the unredeemable? We're not angels, friends. We're not going to get to heaven and fly around with wings. God has his ministering angels to minister to the crown of his creation. We're not angels, and we're not going to be angels, amen. We're going to be the special redeemed, the ones who sing the new song in heaven that the angels peer into and say, wow, what a relationship they get to have with this God of heaven. No, I'd rather be an angel and fly around. Well, listen to what else he has to say. He says, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go now. Someday I want to see those streets of gold in my halo, but I wouldn't mind waiting at least 100 years or so. Could you imagine what it's going to look like in 100 years from here today, church? Could you imagine the state of apostasy that a church is going to be in for 100 years from now? But hey, I don't know about you, but I have enough of sufferings of my own. I think I'd just like to have the 80 years if God gives them to me and not 100 of them. Amen? 180 of them. I don't know about you, but I like the picture of heaven and where it goes. But then he goes on to say these. And I think this is the heart of our culture. This is the moment. This is what everybody's talking about. And everybody want to go to heaven. Hallelujah. Let me hear you shout. Everybody want to go to heaven, but nobody want to go now. I think I speak for the crowd. Nobody want to go now. Yay. And all over, this is the heart and mind of what's waiting for us in heaven, streets of gold and angels and wings and halos. Listen, there's more in heaven than streets of gold, angels and wings and halos. And if that's what you're going to heaven for, you certainly aren't going to make it to heaven. The God of heaven emptied and bankrupt all of heaven that you might have heaven. Amen? Have eternal life. When he gave us the Lord Jesus Christ, everything worth of anything in heaven came down to earth that we might be able to have life and life in his name. Amen? And he says these words, but I'm telling you, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go today. And I find that to be so real today in our society. When you hear people talk about heaven, the main things you hear people talk about heaven is, I want to go to heaven because my mama's there, or because my children are there, or because Aunt JoJo's there, because this person's there. Listen, you know why I want to go to heaven? I want to go to heaven because Jesus is there, amen? That's why I want to go to heaven. And if anything else happens to be accredited into my account when I get to heaven, then hallelujah. But I don't need a halo, and I don't need wings, and I don't need streaks of gold to know that my Savior died for me, amen? He redeemed my precious soul, and he's given me life and life everlasting. And he says, man, listen, there is no other way you're going to get to heaven but the way I'm telling you here now. And so Gandhi says, the need for the moment is not one religion, but mutual respect and tolerance for the devotees of different religions. God has made different religions to suit different aspects, times, and countries. All doctrines are only so many paths, but a path is by no means God himself. Indeed, one can reach God if one follows any of the paths with a wholehearted devotion. One may eat cake with icing, either straight or sideways. It tastes as sweet either way. The idea that I want my cake and eat it too is all in this world. And everybody looks at heaven from the wrong perspective. But when you come down, you find out, I want you to see three don't worries. First of all, I want you to see don't worry, be happy. Because verse 1, he says, let your heart not be troubled. You believed in God, believe in me also. God wants you to know that, yes, there's trouble all around you. If you know the context of this statement, Jesus has just told them, hey, I'm fixing to leave you here. You have to go out into this world, and it's going to come at you on every side. But, hey, listen, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't let your heart be worried. And, man, I'm telling you, this past election, I saw the Christian faith just absolutely shattered across this nation as so many people were worried about the outcome of who was going to be the president of the United States of America. Listen to me. God was not in heaven wringing his hands worried about who was going to be president. He already knew. Amen? And God says, listen, don't you act like the rest of the world. You believe in God, believe in me also. I am here with you. And so he simply just says, man, don't worry, be happy. Y'all remember, if y'all remember that old reggae song, don't worry, be happy. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Hey. And listen, if we would get the context of what he's saying here, he says, listen, it doesn't matter what the world throws at you, you can be happy because you know the truth. Amen? Because you know the way and because you know the life. There's no reason to be worried about what's going on around you. Then he goes on to say, listen to this. And I love this verse, verse 2. And in my Father's house are many mansions. I want you to know it's a house, not a hotel. Amen? So when you get there, you're not checking in for the night and leaving the next day. Amen? Or the next week. When you get there, you check in and you're there forever. You are in the house of God. Amen? And I love what the Bible says. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen? And then he says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. How long? Forever. When we check into God's house, we're not leaving God's house. Amen? I love that. It's not a house. It's not a hotel. It's a house. And secondly, we're not a guest. We're children of the God Most High. Praise the Lord for what God has done by giving us our Lord Jesus to be the way, the truth, and the life. And he speaks loudly and clear here to you tonight. Listen, hey, don't worry. There's plenty of room. Amen? There's plenty of room. I always love that song. There's room for you at the cross. Amen? The cross. I love this cross, the pulpit being the cross, because I always say, God, help hide me behind the precious cross of your blood that people might see you and not hear me. Amen? What people need to see is not me. They don't need to hear my words. They need to hear God's word. And that's why he simply says, let your hearts not be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I love this. But I go to prepare a place for you. So everyone who's reading this, as they read those words, he simply says, hey, you want to know how to get to heaven? Everybody wants to go to heaven. Amen. The song just clearly told us that over and over and over again. But how do we get to heaven? And that's when you come to our text of John 14, 6. But there's plenty of room, and it's plenty of room for you. And then I love it, verse 3, and I go to prepare a place for you. This whole issue of in my Father's house are many mansions, and I know this is probably one of those things where people start picking up stones and throwing it at us, but listen to me. A mansion is not what you need in heaven. You know what you need in heaven? A personal, fulfilled relationship with the Lord of heaven. Because in heaven, you're not married. You're not joined together as you are in family down here. So what good would it for you to have a whole mansion all by yourself? Be pretty lonely in heaven, wouldn't it? But the actual word is monai there in the Greek. It's the word monai, and it doesn't mean actual mansion. It means a dwelling place. Amen? He says, in my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. Amen? I've made room for everybody because God's house is big enough for all of us. Amen? And I want to be where God is anyway. And I'm sure if you're in God, you want to be where God is too. And he says, man, listen, I'm telling you, I've made a perfect place for you. I've prepared it especially for you. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Wow. What a promise that God has just given us right there. Where he is gone, he is coming to get us and take us there. Amen? I can't wait until Christ comes. But then he says, verse 4, and whither I go, you know, and the way. You know. And then Thomas gives us the question. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, which totally throw Gandhi straight out the window. Now all paths lead. There's only one way to heaven, and it's through the blood of Christ Jesus and the atonement that he made on that cross and that death. And hey, listen, praise God for the resurrection on the third day. Amen. Because listen, as he says, if he didn't rise on that third day, then our faith is in vain. Amen? And so is every other religion. Because there's only one way that's going to lead to heaven, and that's through Christ Jesus. He is the way. Amen? And so as he speaks to you and to me, he's not just saying, hey, listen, you can travel whatever path you want to in life. Hey, listen, all roads are going to lead to heaven. No, they're not. No, they're not, and I'm not knocking any other religions, and I'm for one to say, listen, man, would you please, let's sit down, let's talk about what you believe. Let's talk about the God in whom you say you love and serve, and how is it that he's going to provide for you that way to spend eternity in heaven? What has he done for you? There's no other religion like the Christian religion. It's not just a religion amongst many religions. It is the religion. But I tell you, listen, I tell people all the time, I hate religion. Because there ain't no religion, whether it's Christian or whatever the case you want to call it, it's going to get you to heaven. Jesus didn't come and say, and religion is the way to heaven. No, he said, I am the way to heaven. And so when I go all around, people will say, well, you know, what church are you from? Or what faith are you in? And I say, well, let me first start off and be very frank and clear with you. I am not of any religion. I am of a personal relationship with the God of heaven. I am a child of the God Most High. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. Because I don't care what church you go to or how long you've been in that church. If your faith ain't centered in Christ Jesus, my friend, listen to me. You have been believing a lie. Because the very next thing he says, not only am I the way, but I am the truth. And every religion, from the fall of Satan, what was he wanting to get? Don't think that Satan can't act very religiously. Don't think he can't come and smooth talk you into believing something outside of part truth. Because he can. But what was his whole goal in denying the Lord? That he was going to set himself up like the Most High. He was wanting to worship. It's all about religion. But just like Adam and Eve in the fall, that moment that they were deceived, and they realized, boom, they had totally messed up. What was the first thing they tried to do? They tried religion. They sewed together fig leaves for themselves. They tried to make a man-made way to get back to God. And all other religions is a man-made way to get back to God because there's only one religion, and God gave it to us, and it's through Christ Jesus. So apart from that, it's every other religion on the face of the planet is from man's mind, not God's mind. So when he says, I am the way, he's not knocking someone else's religion. He just says, listen to me, that didn't come from me. That came from a man. And I think about all of the ISIS that's going on all over the world and the craziness that is ensuing from that, what they call religion. All started from a dream. All started from a dream where the man said he saw an angel. And that angel said that he was Gabriel to bring a message that there was a new way. And you know what he should have said if he was a true follower of God? Say, wait, whoa, 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 wait, wait, hold on. My Bible tells me already that there is no new way. There's only one way. Amen? There's only one way. And that way is through the way which God provided. I love that God says, hey, listen, I respect you immensely, but there's only one way. There, people believe all kinds of things. I just was talking to a man the other day, and he was saying he was going to be reincarnated, and he was going to come back as a tree or something. I don't remember exactly what he said he was going to come back as. I was thinking, man, listen, hey, that's kind of sad for you, isn't it? I mean, that's what you really think about all in life, is that? But so as I was thinking about that, I come across this poem, and I want to share it with you. And it's called What is Reincarnation? And it's by Gail Irwin. And it says this: What is reincarnation? A cowboy asked his friend. It starts, his old pal told him, when your life comes to an end. They comb your hair and wash your neck and clean your fingernails. They put you in a padded box away from all of life's travails. Now the box in you goes in the hole that's been dug in the ground, and reincarnation starts when you're planted beneath that mound. Them clods melt down just like the box and you who are inside, and that's when you begin your transformation ride. And in a while, the grass will grow up upon your rendered mound till someday upon that spot a lonely flower's found. And then a horse may wander by and graze upon that bud that once was you and now become your vegetated bower. Now the flower and the horse done ate, along with his other feed, makes bone and fat and sinew and full of essential to the steed. But there's a part that he cannot use, and it just passes through, and it lies there upon the ground, this thing that once was you. And if, perchance, I should pass by and see this on the ground, I'll stop a while and ponder at this object that I've found. I'll think about reincarnation and life and death and such, and I'll come away concluding why you ain't changed that much. Amen? Because you know what we all are apart from Christ Jesus? Absolutely nothing. Or worthless. He said, man, apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. And so every religion is all leading to a place where it's all worthless in the end. And so that's why it's so important for you and me who say, man, we believe that Jesus Christ is the way. And he is the truth, to get off of our rears and tell somebody. Because they're all headed down the wrong road right now. That's why I say right now, if I look at the world in its context of what we say we really believe, we are at the worst path of being the best examples for Christ Jesus that the world's ever seen. Because it's going downhill, not uphill, in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen? Do y'all understand that? I mean, do you really understand that? That the world's growing darker, not lighter. And what he say about the truth? He says, man, no man whose candle has been lit puts it under a bushel. But what? But he sets it up on a hill. Amen? So that all who come in may see it. What's wrong? The light's going out. Well, I believe there's a bushel being put over the light. And the light is that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again on the third day that he might take away our sin. The gospel of Jesus Christ is saving faith. Amen? It is the power unto God. I mean, it's the power unto salvation. Man, the word of God is so sweet and so true, and it tells us everything that we need to know so that we know how to get to heaven, so that we can say, man, everybody wants to go to heaven, and guess what? I know the way to heaven. Amen? And I'm going to tell you the truth about the way to get to heaven. But then secondly, he comes to this, and he says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And here's where I come to try to help us to meditate upon this thought here tonight. Our church is in the process right now of making final preparations for VBS. And we are in a desperate effort to reach out to the children who don't go to church. I hope that doesn't offend you, but we want all the children that do come to church to be a part of it, but we definitely want to reach into the communities where they don't go to church, where they're in darkness and their families are broken and all torn apart, because in those families is not life, it is death. You understand? And a dead person can't do anything. There's only one way a dead person does anything, and that's if someone brings that life back to life. Amen? And we all know that from birth we're separated into spiritual death. And I look out at the world, and the world is going all backwards and sideways, and we're looking at the world and saying, man, I can't believe those people act like that. I can't believe those people do that. I can't believe. Listen, yes, you can, and you should believe. They don't have the light. They don't know the way. They don't know the truth. They don't have any life. They act just as they are, as dead people act. In their sinful nature, they cannot find it. And that's why God deposits the little light and life into you and the truth into you, so that you can go and share it with all of the world. Now, notice y'all got life. Y'all got the same VBS coming up. And that's what I told them. I begged them this morning, please, when these kids get here, they're not going to act like they're supposed to act in church. Don't expect them to. Hey, listen, all those decorations on the wall, some little kids like to run down there and just rip them right off the wall. You may hear some kids say some kind of word you never thought you'd ever hear in church. But that kid, that's probably all they know. They have not the way. They don't have the truth, and they certainly don't have the life. You can't expect results out of something that is dead. But if you get something that's dead to a place where it can come back to life, then you may see something spectacular. And my heart is what I say, all the energy, if I can just see one kid, just one, say, man, I now know the way to heaven, then everything we've done has been worthwhile. Amen. I now know the truth that there's only one way to heaven. And I'm thankful that that way and that truth is giving me life today. Amen? And this is what our hope and dream and goal is for everybody. So when you go out there into the world and those people, I saw a guy just a minute ago, says, this man needs a beer. Amen? Hey, praise the Lord. You need a beer probably right now, but listen to me. What you need more than a beer is you need Jesus Christ to rule and reign over your heart. Amen? And that's my heart and goal for tonight. Listen, everybody wants to go to heaven. But the truth is, not everybody's going to heaven. Not every path leads to heaven. Not every religion leads to heaven. There's only one that's going to get them to heaven. Let me ask you, if I was to ask you for a show of hands tonight, listen, this is church, I know, and we don't normally do this kind of thing, but if I was to ask you tonight, how many of you know the way, the truth, and the life? Raise your hand. So that's almost every single person in this building. You all just acknowledge that you know the way, the truth, and the life. Let me ask you about the movie that asked, what you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? I know we're in church, and I know you probably believe, and you probably are going your way to heaven. But why would God give you that gift and leave you here if he didn't expect you to do something with it? And that's why I love my buddy Mark. He always had a heart for missions, and he gave me probably the lowest attending night of all nights to come here and preach, because he took half the congregation off to the other parts of the world. And praise God, because I'm not here to preach to you who already know the way, the truth, and the life. About the way, the truth, and the life, I'm here to ask you, what you going to do about it? Don't worry. He's gone to prepare a place for you. Don't worry. There's plenty of room. Okay? You're going to get there. Well, what are you going to do until you get there? How are you going to occupy with the knowledge that you know the way, and you know the truth, and you know the life? You have a great opportunity as the body of Christ to join together in heart, mind, and soul, and say, I want to live my life in such a way that when people see, all they can say is, man, I may not believe what they believe, but they sure believe it. Amen? They sure believe what they're saying. People tell me all the time, I said, boy, I tell you what, you sure act like you believe everything you preach. I said, you better believe I do, because God has allowed me to know the truth. Amen? And he's allowed me to know the way. And I'm, for one, thankful for someone who took the time to take the word of God and get it into my heart that I might not be canceled out of my way to heaven. But for a long time, I didn't go the way. Amen? I didn't live the truth. And I certainly didn't have the life. But somewhere along the way, someone planted the seed of life into my heart. And that seed took 27 years to bring forth fruit. And I am, for one, thankful for that person who said, man, I know the way. I know the truth. And I know the life. And what I want to do is share that with everyone that I can. This morning we talked about 2 Timothy. And he said, Paul was writing to Timothy, and he said, man, from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Amen. And men, all those little children, what I want to do is get the word of God in them, the holy word of God in them, that makes them wise unto salvation. Why? Because there's only one way to heaven. Jesus is the way. Amen. He is the truth, and he is the life. And so the last one, he simply just says this. Listen to what he says. Verse 7. Now watch this. And if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. Notice that he went not from a house, but to a person. He's been talking about heaven all along. But then he comes down to the point of heaven. The God who created the heavens and the earth. The God who created everything has the right to say there's only one way. He created it. He made it. He knows what makes it work the best. And just today I had an opportunity to share with a little young fella. And I said, man, listen to me. I'm going to break this down, the truth, the way, the truth, and the life for you in a way that you can understand. And I said, if I was to take you to Walmart today, and I say, in there is the bike for you. You get that bike, and it's yours. And then you get that bike, but when we start to leave, they bring you a box. Instead of a completed, put-together bike, they bring you a box. And in that box is all the pieces to put that bike together. But you get home and you find out that there aren't any instructions. What are you going to do with that bike? Most likely, if you're like me, you're going to try to put it together without that instruction manual. Amen, guys? Who needs an instruction manual, right? I mean, I've seen a bike before. I know what all the parts look like, and let's just work this thing out. But you can do that, and that's fine. And the Lord, there's many, many ways that people try to put life together as well without any instruction manual. But the truth is that the manufacturer of that bike knows exactly how that bike is supposed to work. He knows the truth and the way to put it together that'll make it ride like it's supposed to. I remember when I was a kid, I used to go and get bicycle parts from other bicycles. Anybody was that poor? Where your mom didn't buy you a new bike, you went and got bikes from your neighbors and you took all those pieces apart and you put them together. Well, I'd do that, man, but listen, they weren't to the manufacturer specs. And so eventually as I was riding down that road, guess what? Life come apart, and what would happen? Man, I hurt myself, but then I hurt my buddy that was riding beside me on his bike that was put together right, because I'd take him out when mine fell apart. But I said, man, listen, there's an instruction manual for that bike. And if you put it together like the instructions tell you to put it together, it's going to work the way it's supposed to work. Well, God made you. He knows how to make your life work. And if life doesn't seem to be going the way that it should, or you think that it might should go, you might want to get out the instruction manual. Because believe it or not, God did give you an instruction manual to life. And he says, listen, there's only one way to put it together. And it has to start with Jesus. Once you know Jesus, then the Bible says that the Holy Spirit of God is given to you. And then the Bible says that the Spirit has been given that he may lead and guide you into all truth. And then once you know the truth, life begins to happen. Amen? Life, transformation begins to come up on the inside. And God says, this is what I want for every one of my children. The thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. He's taking the manual and throwing it out the door and saying, hey, put together your life however you want. Live any way you want. Do whatever you want. But listen to me. If the door closes on life before it's too late, you're not going to heaven. Because when it comes down to the simple fact at the end of the day, that God says, listen, there is only one way. One way. So you read it again. Verse 6. And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's an exclusive Christ is tolerant, but he's also tolerant to a point where he says, listen, you either come under the understanding that I say this is the way, or you don't make it in the way. And so, I don't know about you, but for a little child, this is very difficult to understand. Because a little child hasn't gotten ready to figure out all about what life is. But I can tell you, the Bible says, except you become converted like one of these little children and be converted, you shall no wise enter what? Into the kingdom of heaven. What I love about VBS, when I'm not speaking to adults who expect this great explanation and expounding and breaking down the Greek and the Hebrew and, man, give me all this, that does absolutely no good because they don't share one single bit of it with anybody else. I say, listen, there are plenty of children who want to know how to get to heaven. But when you tell them how to get to heaven, they don't question 1,000 different ways of what you're talking about. You understand what I'm saying? They have simple faith. And he asks you to have simple faith as well. Jesus said, I am the way. There's no other way. I am the truth. There's no other truth. And I am the life. Period. Without Jesus, we're not making it. Amen? You simply tell what you have placed inside. That's what God wants us to do. There's no sense in having truth if we're not going to share it. Your pastor here, I heard him talk already. He loves evangelism. How many of y'all have been on evangelism with him in here tonight? How many? So y'all have seen this firsthand? Y'all are doing it firsthand? Praise the Lord. Amen. Keep on sharing the way, the truth, and the life. But maybe there's somebody here tonight, listen to me. You're trying to make it work on your own terms. Listen, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one. That's not anybody of any religion, whether you be Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, Catholic, Jehovah's, Hindu, Muslim. I don't care who you are. The only way we're getting there is by the standard that God has set. And the standard was that we're a sinner in need of salvation. Amen? How many of you here know you're a sinner? Raise your hand. How many of you know that Jesus is the only way you're going to get to heaven? Raise your hand. Hallelujah. How do you know it's the only truth? How do you know it's the only truth? Huh? Because it says it in the Bible. Praise God. Well, listen to me. No. Listen to me. Has God brought life into your heart and soul? Do you know that you were once dead and now you've been made alive? You've been quickened by the Holy Spirit and God of heaven speaks to you? Amen? Well, man, listen, there's a whole world out there right now that's going to hell in a handbasket trying to make their own way to heaven. And what he says is, what are you going to do about it? So I ask you, what are you going to do about it? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have given us the light. We praise you that you've given us the way, the truth, and the life here in this room. And Father, I am so proud to see all the hands raised in this room tonight that say they know the way to heaven. And we have a whole crowd of people, such a great cloud of witness about us that I pray that they go out and share that they know the way, the truth, and the life. That you've gone to prepare a place for us, and in that place, we're going to spend eternity with you. And so, Father, I pray that tonight, if they know it, if they truly know it, that they'll be willing and ready to share it. For no one in the darkness can see the light except the light come. And so, Father, I pray you'd help us to take this truth that you've given to us, this life that you've placed inside of us, and share it with others. But maybe there's someone here tonight. All the hands have been up all night, but you see yourself struggling and trying to make God fit into your own box and make salvation and faith your own way. Listen, stop. Stop trying to make God fit your box and get into his. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to heaven. No one gets to the Father. No one's getting there but by Jesus. Tonight maybe is the night that you need to put your faith and trust in Christ Jesus. That you hear, that you know, that you can have the way, the truth, and the life. And so, Father, I pray that if there's anybody here that needs to trust you, that tonight would be that night in which they say, I'm giving up trying to get to heaven my own way. I'm going to trust by faith that you know how to get to where you are. We pray it now and say it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we stand and sing the invitation, tonight may be the night you need to come. Maybe you need to be ready. Your pastor will be down here in front, ready to receive you. So sing out with all your heart if you know it to be true. But I pray if you need to make a decision, tonight will be the night that you make it.